Welcome to the Self-Kindness with Pete podcast, where we explore self-kindness. What is self-kindness? It's not just fluff, it's substance. It's not just a nicety, it's a life-altering practice. We explore how getting a foundation of self-kindness right inside allows you to live as your very best version of you in the world. I'm Pete Sibley, the self-kindness coach, and I'm so glad you're here. Hello and welcome to the Self-Kindness with Pete podcast. I am Pete Sibley. Good as always to have this opportunity to share something that falls under this umbrella of self-kindness, the depth of this conversation around self-kindness. How are you doing, my friend? Right now, in this moment, are you bringing that awareness to what you're doing? Do you notice how you're sitting in the chair, if you're sitting or if you're driving? Are you aware of the fact that you are walking, if you're walking, or maybe you're running when you listen to this podcast? Wherever you are, what is going on inside of you? What are the thoughts inside of wonderful, wonderful you? And are you supporting that right now? If you aren't, I always invite you to open up to where you can be internally kind, of just recognizing maybe that you aren't bringing that kindness and awareness inside of you. If you are, then amazing, my friend. I'm so glad for you, and I'm so grateful that that's where you find yourself right now in this moment. And remember, it's becoming more popular out there in the world, but our life is always going to go back and forth, friends. It's going to be 50% of the time really great and 50% of the time not so much. And that is outside of everything else. I mean, that is outside of whether or not work is going well or your relationships are going well or whatever. Like, you are going to have that 50-50. I hear it from people who feel like their life isn't working, and I hear it from people who feel like their life is working. It's part of being human, and that is why it's so important to understand this relationship in you. If you haven't already and you're interested, go on over to, you can go down to the show notes here. You can reach out to me at Instagram at Self-Kindness with Pete, or head to my website, petesibley.com. I have 3 spaces right now that are open. Well, it's kind of 2, but I'll say 3 that are open right now for my one-on-one coaching, where we just open up the doors of possibilities in your life around self-kindness. Imagine for a moment that you have sat for 3 months or 6 months in a conversation weekly and a meeting monthly with a group where you are talking about your self-kindness, what is blocking you, and just having that conversation. And again, I'm not talking about people who have never had this conversation. If you're listening to this, I know you've done some of your work, and you're the right person for this. I mean, I am so excited getting to work with people like you who have already begun this journey, because that is when this conversation is so ripe. Again, it's understanding that we have a relationship in us and that we can be intentional about making that a beautiful, kind, generous, compassionate, fun, passionate relationship within ourselves. We get to be in charge of that, and we get to be the ones who are dictating how fabulous or how crappy our lives are. And my friends, I am on fire about wanting the fabulous, knowing that 50% of the time, even when it's fabulous, it's going to feel like crap. Let's drop the crap. It's going to feel like shit. And 50% of the time, we're buzzing. So I have grown that capacity through the work of some incredible therapy and coaching. I can't say enough about how much these people have helped me. So I invite you to say yes to you. And if that yes is with working with me, amazing. I can't wait. If that yes is reaching out and saying help and getting the wisdom from somebody else that is drawing you in, then amazing. Either way, I feel like I get the win. I am greedy for more joy, more happiness, more depth of who you see yourself as. So again, you can reach out to me at Self-Kindness with Pete on Instagram, or find me PeteSibley.com, or go to the show notes. And if you're hanging around in the show notes, you can also rate the show if you haven't done that already. That's a huge help. So thank you. And leave a comment that helps people get into this conversation, like the conversation I had and get to bring to you today with Caroline Ivers. I keep saying Caroline. It's Carolyn Ivers. Sorry, Carolyn. She is amazing. And if you want to talk about relationships, she's the one to listen to today. There's a codependency I find a lot of times in myself and in the clients that I work with. There's a codependency on the relationship with the part of us that we aren't totally thrilled with. And, you know, that's what we talk about today in this conversation with Carolyn Ivers, how to begin to loosen up. And she writes, you know, become codependent proof in your relationships. So my guest today, Carolyn Ivers, she is the addiction relationship coach who, after 17 years of being in codependent relationships, you know, the most recent with a partner who struggled with multiple addictions, she effectively codependence proofed her own brain with the coaching that she now shares with so many. Her Instagram at Carolyn Ivers is it's so refreshing. There's so much good information in there. And when I first learned about her, I started following her and just thought, oh my goodness, she is a person who can speak deeply about this conversation of self-kindness. So here she is, Carolyn Ivers. So Caroline, I did it.
Good. Carolyn Ivers. You just got it out the first time.
Welcome to Self-Kindness with Pete. I think that's a great place to start. Thanks so much for being here. And let's jump in how I love to jump in with everybody, which is, what is your definition of self-kindness, or what do you hear when you hear those two words together? How would you describe self-kindness and what that means to you?
So this is interesting, because when I first hear the word self-kindness, my brain is like, meh. It just sounds to my brain, it's like some sort of buzzword or anything. But then I put 2 seconds of thought into it, and I was like, this is actually really important to be talking about. Mm-hmm. Because it's not necessarily our default self-kindness for many reasons. But I think through my life, what I've been seeing lately is self-kindness to me has been believing myself. Not believing in myself, but believing myself and validating my own experience. Mm-hmm. Because I come from a background where unintentionally, I think, sometimes intentionally, mostly unintentionally, I've been taught to not trust myself. I've been taught to talk myself out of how I feel. I was very codependent for a really long time in relationships with others. And I would always delegate my thoughts and opinions and feelings to what other people thought and felt was right for me. So I'd always be wanting other people's opinions, always thinking, oh, they know better than I do for me. Mm. Which, of course, in the end, always leads to a lot of resentment and so much disempowerment. Because at some point, you realize they don't know what's best for me more than I do. So for me, it's been the long process of learning how to actually believe what I'm experiencing from my own lens and not trying to talk myself out of it.
Right, right. Oh my gosh, that's so great. What I haven't ever heard it defined that way or explained that way, but really that's a great definition for even like the buzzword that gets thrown out there of self-acceptance and, you know, mm-hmm. self-love, like all of those things of like, I love how you say it's believing, and how you put it together with that believing, like what's, I always say it's like, what could be more sane than like matching up with what already is happening inside of Pete? Like,
yes,
Pete's angry right now. So like, I'm going to believe that.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. I love that. That's so simple. It really is.
Yeah. It's been huge for me though.
Yeah. So you are a addiction relationship coach, and can you walk us up and give us just a little bit of background of how you now come to have that label in your life, mm-hmm. and maybe how a little bit of this work that you're describing got you to this point where now you're in such service to other people?
So I was married for 10 years from the age of 20 to 30, well, 31, but officially married for 10 years. That partner did not struggle with addiction, but it was a very codependent dynamic. He was 4 years older, and, you know, when I got married at 20, I didn't have a very strong sense of self. And so that's how, and I came from like a church background, and the message there was very like, trust not in your own understanding, but, you know, refer to others. What other people tell you is best. Refer to this book that tells you what you should do and how you should feel and everything. So that message of don't trust yourself started very early for me. And of course, I attracted a partner who filled that role for me of, okay, now you can trust your partner. You don't have to, you know, went from the church and my parents to, okay, now trust in this partner. And, that was, 10 years of not realizing that I wasn't taking responsibility for my own life. Mm. So in the last 6 months of that relationship, that was me awakening to, oh, this is who I am. And I actually don't like this person that I've been. And I don't like this dynamic that I've been allowing this whole time.
Right.
Because I was actively giving away my power that entire time. I just didn't realize it.
Right, right.
So, you know, you have these moments where it clicks and you're like, oh, I don't have to accept that in my life anymore. All right. So we didn't have children together. So it felt right for me to let go of that relationship.
Well, if I can just interject right there, it's like sometimes maybe a lot of us who get into this work, like there is that moment of, let's call it grace or realization or something. And I love how you just, you know, pointed that out. It's like, I think we tend to forget that we are making a decision by not making a decision. Or, right. You know, it is this mm-hmm. weird thing, you know. Just recently I was chatting with some clients around this idea of how much are we inviting the divine, like that was the language, but like how much are we inviting the divine or the spirit to be active in our everyday?
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed in me when I started asking that question, it's like, I can see what my priorities are. My priorities are the divine isn't important. This email is important.
Mm.
So I just love that, you know, that was a part of your takeaway there, right? Is that, oh, I was making a decision. And even though you may not have had the tools yet to fully understand that was working in you. Anyway, so
we could argue that that whole relationship, the purpose of that was to show me that.
Yes. Yes.
That's how I like to look at things. It's like, it's all your teacher, right? That's how I learned that skill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and I've heard you, I'm going to say, like, I've heard you talk in other podcasts and places. And that is one thing that's really drew me in about your personality, of the way that you see life, is that it's here to, it's like, it's on your side, essentially. Like, it's here mm-hmm. to teach you. You may not like the lessons that it's teaching, and you may not really like the way that it's offering those lessons, mm-hmm. but holy cow, what a beautiful way to be an example in the world to look at life that way. So thank you for sharing that in this conversation. That's how you see the world. So that's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's just kind of like surrendering to what's happening. Like, I might as well. Like, it just is more empowering to think of it that way. Mm-hmm. And I am so much more productive and happy in the world when I do think of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So then the next relationship after that marriage ended was a partner who struggled with serious drug addiction. Mm-hmm. But when we first met, like, I wasn't looking for like a life partner. So I wasn't really qualifying him as like, when he told me on our first date that he had struggled with this and that he had been sober or in recovery for about 7 months. And I had no background of this. And I was like, oh, awesome. Great for you. Like, good job that you've been in recovery for a while. And like, I didn't know. So, it's funny because I had set a very specific intention the day before I met him of what I wanted to bring into my life. And it was about like passion and fun and really deep connection. Like I was very much into, you know, Abraham Hicks, manifesting, setting intentions for your life. And so I was like, you know what? This is what I want. So the next day I meet him.
careful what you said, right?
Yes. But also in that, here are some other lessons you didn't know you needed. Wow. Which just clicked in my brain as I just said that. What I asked for and I thought I wanted in a person delivered through that experience was like my life passion, connection with myself. Literally, that just clicked for me in my brain.
All right, we're done. Thanks for listening today, folks.
What?
Holy crap.
I got exactly what I asked for. Because now, through that relationship, I now have a career as a life coach that I'm so passionate about. I am more connected to myself than I have ever been. Excuse me. That's insane that just clicked.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So
that's amazing. You're like embodying self-kindness or the practice of self-acceptance as you're talking. So beautiful.
Boom. Yeah.
Would you mind saying it one more time? Because I feel like it's important enough to repeat it.
So the intention that I set before I met him was that I wanted to invite in a really passionate, fun connection. And on the surface level, that's exactly what I got from that relationship. But in the meta level, that's what I got in my life with myself through that relationship.
Yeah.
Insane. Insane. I love the way the universe works. I love it.
Great.
So in that around about 3-year relationship, he had multiple relapses of meth and heroin, and along with that, sex addiction, and just broke me down. If anyone's been in a relationship with someone who struggles with addiction, you can relate to that. Like, just completely broke me open, really, is what it did. Broke my heart wide open. like the most raw pain I've ever felt in my life was in that relationship, which spurred me to, it inspired me to reach out for support. So I ended up hiring a life coach for myself. I'd never done that before because I had been listening to podcasts. Like when you're in that like deep, everything is confusing and falling apart and you're just like, anything, please, book, podcast, like anything I can get that will tell me what to do right now because I have no idea what's going on. So then I reached out and I got a life coach for myself. And on one of those sessions, I wanted to talk about my career because I had been, you know, divorced and I was at a corporate job that I was totally just a transition thing. I was a freelance photographer before that, but I just didn't have it in me to like restart my business after that. I was just like, I just want to go sit at a desk for a couple of years. So this brought me back to, okay, well, what do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to go from here? Mm-hmm. And she asked me a bunch of questions. And at the end, she was like, you know, you'd be a good life coach. And never had that ever occurred to me before. But, you know, long story short, it sparked the curiosity. And then I started researching and then I found the place I wanted to get certified through. And then like, you know, 6 months later, I was quitting my job and becoming a life coach. Yeah, yeah. So that's how I got into coaching. And I wasn't sure that I wanted this to be my specialty, working with people in relationships with addiction, because I was still in it then. So I was like, I don't know if I want to be talking about this all day when like this is my life and it's stressful. And but a few months into that, that relationship came to an end. And I realized there are so many people like me who never hear this talked about, who can't talk to their friends about it, who can't talk to their family about it. It's so isolating.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk about this.
Yeah. It's almost more isolating, I believe, than the person who has the addiction, or like what came to me is like mental health, like how mental, like both of those feel like they're not nearly where they could be in the realm of being acceptable and spoken about and healing. But wow. I mean, what you're talking about, I think, is the person who's on the side of being in the relationship. Like that is until you started speaking about it, and like, it never really occurred to me, what an underserved, underspoken, cared for community.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I had no idea either until exactly, I had that experience.
Right.
And then I was like, where are the podcasts talking to me? Like, I need help, people. And the main narrative out there is just leave them. What are you doing? Because you're in a relationship with them. It's not like it's different than if this person is your son or your daughter or your parent or whoever. Like that's has a different narrative to it. But if you're dating someone who struggles with addiction, it's like, oh, you have no ties to this person. Just leave.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. I could not.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I was also struggling with that addictive connection. Because one of the definitions of addiction is like not being able to stop something despite negative consequences.
Yes.
I could not get out of that relationship despite all of the negative consequences it was bringing into my life. I could not do it because I felt in my soul, I was like, the story with this isn't over. I don't know why I'm coming back to this because we broke up and got back together several times. And I could not explain it to my friends. They're like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. I can't tell you what's happening. I just know this is what I got to do.
Yeah. I kind of hear that in a way, like you were talking about with your own personal realization, like on the surface level, it's like, yes, you could be working with people who are in a dating or in a marriage, like that type of person-to-person relationship, but you could easily be working with people in their own minds in the relationship that they have. And I think that's why I got so excited about inviting you on today about self-kindness, because I've heard you maybe allude to that fact that, like, really the first relationship is our relationship to us, and getting that right leads into all of these other beautiful practices about to be in relationship with others. Because a lot of what you're saying is like, I could be saying the same thing. It's like, you know, it's like, Pete, why don't you just like love yourself? Why do you like yeah. talk to yourself so cruelly? It's like, I don't know. If I knew, don't you think I would stop? So it's like, that's how I landed on this idea of self-kindness. I was like, well, at least I can, you know, kind of be nice to myself a little bit now and then, kind. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
And there's always yeah. some sort of like event that sparks a shift or like an impetus. You know how they talk about, you know, marijuana being the gateway drug. I think of relationships, toxic relationships, as the gateway to your own healing. Because that was the thing that brought me back to myself and was like, you have no control over your partner and what they do or anything outside of you. You have to look at yourself.
Yeah.
That's the only option here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that
what did
is
that look like in your life? So you keep getting back together with him. You don't know what's going on. You can't explain why to your friends. How did that then move from that relationship, the toxicity of it, to then you starting to be like, oh, I have to start with me?
Mm-hmm. It started by hiring that life coach. Right. And then when I decided to be a life coach in that certification process, it was teaching me how to look at all of my own thoughts and question them. And this is all about self-inquiry. So that whole process of what I was doing was all just a mirror looking at me. Yeah. And that's how I learned all of the skills that I have now of self-reflection, learning about myself, knowing myself and how I operate best. And then I found like human design, which I don't know if you dived into human design at all, but
not a lot, but tell us.
Fascinating. Yeah. So it's like such a specific, it's like an owner's manual for how you operate best. Yeah. That's specific to you. And when I started learning more about myself, oh, I'm not supposed to like commit to one career for my whole life, which is part of what I thought I had to do. When I was in college, I was there to be a music ed major and I wanted to be a music teacher. But then the thought of having one degree for one job for my whole life, I was just like, absolutely not. I cannot do that. Yeah. And then that's literally in my human design that that's not how I operate. It's so validating. It's like, oh, that's just me. Mm-hmm. This is just how I am. And so that's how I started being curious about how I was feeling in that relationship. I had all these ideas of what should be able to create a healthy relationship, what our relationship should be like, how I should be showing up. But instead, I got curious about how does this feel to me?
Mm. Yeah, such an important question.
Yeah. I actually, when you think about it, I actually don't like that. I actually don't like being around you when you're high. I actually don't like that you have compulsive sexual behavior with other people driven by your drugs. And yes, I can have so much compassion about his addiction, but I don't have to accept it because it's an addiction. Mm. I don't have to accept behavior in my life that doesn't feel good to me. Mm. Sounds simple, but it is a huge realization.
Oh, it's mind-blowing. Yeah.
So then I gave myself permission to say no to what doesn't feel aligned and say yes to what resonates with me. So just being really, really, really curious about myself and becoming attuned to myself again, because this is the theme of my life, right? I was out of tune with what's happening inside of me. I was trained out of that in childhood, and then in my adult life, I wasn't paying attention to myself, was ignoring all of my needs. I was delegating my emotions to other people, making other people responsible for how I feel. So this whole process was coming back to myself, realigning with myself, paying attention to myself, and giving myself permission to need what I need and act in accordance with that, which may mean saying no to people that I love.
Yeah. And that's the rub, and like, right. And that's,
yep.
And that's the, but that's the practice. It's like in this idea, I believe, of self-kindness, like life is giving me, how you said, like, it's giving me every opportunity to practice.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, you know, me saying no to somebody might bring up a reaction in them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's back to me. Like, how do I feel about that? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yes. And I feel like, I agree at 100% everything you're saying. Yeah.
So fun. Such
I, a good I bought it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Setting intention, and maybe you were fully done with your story, but I wonder if that idea of setting intention is still part of your practice, or does it look more fluid now that you have been practicing of following, like, what do I want here? What is my, you know, what are my feelings and emotions telling me here?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely more fluid. My whole goal is to live an intentional life, because before I was just reacting blindly with no connection to myself or the world, just kind of in reaction mode all the time. No intention about who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? What do I want? What decisions align with that? So now my whole goal is like checking in with myself often, multiple times a day, but always checking in, because there's a lot of shift that happens moment to moment. And it's like, I don't know, being in a sailboat and the wind shifting from, you know, 1 hour to the next, you're still going the right way, but it's not straight. And even if you think the best path is a straight line, that's not necessarily the most fulfilling path. That's not the most adventurous path. That's actually not what you want, to just go from A to B. You think that's what you want. Not necessarily. And I still get frustrated by this, because I always want to know the future. I want to know what's happening. I want to know.
You too.
Where I stand with people. Like, I want to know what's the plan. But this just came up for me the other day, because in a dating situation, like, I'm planning a date. It's usually the reverse, you know. Been dating this person for a while, and he plans all the dates, and it's so fun to just show up and be like, what are we doing? And then I find out, and I'm like, so excited. And then I'm planning the date, and I'm like, ooh, should I like tell him what I have planned? But I was like, no, because it's more fun for him, like, to for him to just show up and then surprise him. I'm like, Carolyn, take your own advice here. It's actually more fun to not know and then be surprised.
Yeah. So why do we seem to make that disconnect when it's like the universe or the divine wanting us to have that same delight of not knowing, right?
Yeah. I don't know. So annoying. Right. Why can't we just enjoy all the little surprises?
Yeah. So, you know, being in a relationship, like with somebody who is struggling with addiction, for me, it brings up the idea of there can be a lot of fear. And mostly around the idea of what's coming to mind is this fear of the unpredictability of, you know, and it being, you know, so do you mind exploring that a little bit? Like how did you address that in your life? How do you, you know, what does the idea of fear, how do you work with that now in your own life? But also, how do you work with that when you're sitting with somebody that has come to you and says, you know, Carolyn, I need help in this regard?
Fear is probably the biggest emotion that my clients have. Yeah. And it's on a day-to-day level of the unpredictability, but the most, the deepest fear for them is losing this person that they love to addiction, to overdose, to suicide, to whatever it is, because that's a real possibility. So my clients are constantly in fear that their partner is going to die. That's traumatic. That's really traumatic. And so it rules your life because the fear is so great, because it is an actual, I mean, it's always a possibility. It's just not at the forefront of our minds. Like, even if your partner doesn't struggle with addiction, it's always possible that you could lose your partner in the next 30 seconds. But it's just more obvious when your partner has a lot of destructive behaviors, right? So now you're reacting to that constantly, and all of your behavior and your whole life becomes trying to mitigate that risk. So what can I do to make sure they're not stressed or anxious today? Because if they're stressed or anxious, then they're more likely to use, and then they could overdose. So it's like you're constantly ruled by fear. Your whole life, every decision is based on fear, which is an exhausting way to live. And not how, we're not meant to live like that. So.
And but again, you know, I think why this is so great we're having this conversation is I could just see how this plays out in just a human narrative. So many people living afraid.
Yeah, that's a huge theme in our world right now. But A, that's not how we're meant to live. B, nothing good happens when you're operating from fear. Like, the way I teach my clients is when we, all our emotions drive all of our actions. So either your all of your actions are driven by a positive emotion, generosity, excitement, joy, curiosity, or they're all driven by negative emotions, quote unquote negative emotions, because, you know, all emotion, it is what it is, but it's a whole spectrum. But those, you know, quote unquote negative emotions, fear, jealousy, guilt, you know, those constrictive, like when you operate from that, you're not going to create anything positive from that. You're not going to create expansion and discovery from fear. You're only going to create more fear. So you're just, you're in this cycle. You're always in the cycle of creating of more of what you're focused on. So that's the first thing that I address with my clients is, okay, the fear is there. The fear is valid. You have many good reasons to feel this fear, and it's not helping you at all. So how can we be with that fear and allow it to be there and process through that and let it move through us so that we can then be released from that energy and move into a more intentional, doesn't have to be great feeling emotion, but something in the direction of something more positive.
Right, right. Yeah, it's almost like I hear in that allowance, again, that you're not throwing fear out as, you know, as something that we shouldn't be experiencing. Or, you know, maybe on that, you know, 30,000 foot level, it's like, it's serving us at it's here for a reason, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, I love that. Because again, in my approach with self-kindness, like, that is a kindness to even just be like, holy shit, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like, I'm terrified right now. Mm-hmm. But what's so fascinating, and maybe this is your experience for yourself and working with your clients, is like the power of just acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it starts to do something of its own accord, just acknowledging that I am terrified.
Yeah. And when you think of the word kindness, what would you do with a toddler who is terrified?
Yeah.
You pick them up and you hug them. You just hold them.
Oh.
You don't tell them to stop being afraid. Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes we do.
Like, why are you? Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes we do that, but that's not the best response. But, like, you know, your natural impulse is to comfort them.
Yeah. And that's inside of us, right? That's,
yeah.
That's, you know, where I start with some of my clients is like, you know, that image of like maybe two kids on the playground, one falls down and skins their knee. The other one would just come over and sit. You can see them like sitting next to them and maybe they like gently touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And don't come over and say like, get up, like, you're going to be all right. Like, let's do this. Come on. We can
throw more rocks at them
or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's like, it's just being with them. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And that's in all of us. Like, whether mm-hmm. you've tapped into that in the last 20 years or not, like, as a human being, it's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just the more gentle response.
Yeah.
But what most of us do to ourselves is, you know, we throw rocks at ourselves when we feel those negative emotions.
Yeah, like,
or totally. Shut down and avoid them altogether. We're just, nope, it's not safe to feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. You allow them and offer them that space to be present with what's already there. That's mm-hmm. what I'm hearing. And what a gift. Yeah. To me, that's part of my, maybe this could lead into that next question, but it's part of my soapbox around this idea of self-kindness, because I get it. Like, people hear it and they're kind of like, meh. Or like, yeah. A good friend of mine interviewed me for her podcast and the title was self-kindness. And then in parentheses, it said, I know, gross, right? And I love it because, like, yeah. It's so right on. But it's like when you take a moment and drop beneath it, all of a sudden you're just like, fuck, like, this self-kindness thing, like, that's a big umbrella, and like it can kind of take us to some places. Like, can you imagine a world where everybody has put in some time in the day to self-kindness?
I can imagine that world. And
I bet you can.
And I do feel we're moving towards that in a collective way, but we're still very much human and a lot of it we still give over to those, that conditioning that we have. But wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah. Well, so that's one of the questions I think I passed along to you is, why do you think self-kindness is an important practice? And, you know, however your language is it, understanding like your design, why do you think that's such an important practice right now in this moment for you and then the community that you're part of and then the larger human community?
For me, it's so important because I live with me all the time. This is my life. This is my experience. Do I want a good feeling experience or an awful feeling experience? And I've lived that awful feeling experience for so long. I'm over it. I am so over it.
Holy cow.
So it's my, and I am the only one that can shift that for me in, you know, throughout the day. And even when I'm in a relationship, like, nope, I'm still the only one who can choose how I want to think, how I want to feel, how I want to communicate my needs, how I want to advocate for my needs, how I want to move through the world. So that's why it's important for me. And then externally, we project everything that's happening inside of us. So if I'm not kind to myself, I am now projecting that onto others. And not only that, but that's all I can see in the world is how I view myself. That's all I can see outside. So if I'm talking shit to myself all the day, then all I hear is shit talking everywhere. And that feels even worse. When you feel chaos inside, you see chaos outside of you. When you feel peace inside, you see peace outside of you. That's just the lens you're looking through now. And so your entire experience of the world shifts. And now we throw in, like, if you're a parent, how are you going to show up as a parent if you're unkind to yourself? Yeah. You're going to parent unkindly, whether you want to or not, because that's how it works. You can't feel one way and act a completely different way. You show up how you feel.
Totally. I mean, that was my experience with you know, my kiddos when they were babies, was like, you know, I don't want to like act that way again, and I don't want to lose my temper again in front of them. And then I would. And it was, yeah, it's like, okay, I need to.
Then there's always the opportunity to model self-kindness.
Totally.
Own your emotions and talk about what that experience is like. Like, show them how to be human, the full range of how to be human, all of those emotions. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's never like, you know, of course, sometimes you're going to be unkind. Yeah. And then you get to be kind to yourself about when you were unkind.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you can always right the ship.
Yeah. So what advice would you have for somebody, you know, not, I know that you're maybe not a person that's just like chucking advice out there to people, but since I'm kind of forcing you into answering the question, what advice would you have to somebody who is in that place that you were, of feeling stuck, of feeling confused, of continuing to go into those unkind situations? How would you come up next to her and, you know, be gentle or help them in that moment from where you are now?
The easiest way to go into that is becoming very curious about yourself. Become very curious about yourself. Listen to what feels resonant to you and what feels out of tune to you. Like, our bodies hold a lot more wisdom than our minds do. And we feel what's right and what's not all the time. But most of the time, we're trained out of paying attention to that. We are not taught how to be guided by how we feel. We're actually taught that you shouldn't be guided based on how you feel. And there's a difference between being driven by your emotions and listening to what, I want to say feels, but it's like that resonance or that closing down or that repelling. We've all been in situations where either we feel open and expansive and drawn toward something, or we feel closed and uncomfortable and repelled by something. that is your body telling you what's right for you in that moment or not. And that can change in the same circumstance from day to day. So I'm just going to use a dating example because I'm a relationship coach. So I went on 2 dates with this guy a while ago. Both of those 2 dates felt totally open, totally drawn to this person, very comfortable. I was like, yeah, yes, this person's a great guy. Feels really like the energy feels good on paper, all the things I would be wanting. Date 3, from driving to the date all the way through driving away from the date, my body was feeling misaligned, like out of tune. That's the best way for me to describe it. I was not open every time. And this isn't about him as a person. This is just about what's right for me in the grand scheme of my life. Yeah. So when, you know, he would come close to me and I would just, my body, my whole energy was just like pushing away. Not because I'm not attracted to this person, not because he's not a good person. He's a very good man, but my body is telling me, this isn't the right direction for you. And I ended that connection that night after I had like processed what had happened in my body. I was like, okay, in the past, my brain would have talked me out of that.
Totally. Like, I was just
like, Carolyn, yeah. But he's everything really you think you want.
Stuff. Yeah.
Such a good person. He's got this and this and this. Like, you would be proud to introduce him to anyone in your life. Like, yeah. There's no logical reason that that shouldn't have been a great match for me in my life. But it just isn't the right direction for whatever reason. I don't even know yet. I don't even know the full picture of why that wasn't the right move to pursue something with that person. But I've practiced this over and over and over again, listening to my body, making a decision that's in alignment with what I feel. And then later, I'll get confirmation that that was the correct thing. Later, that will happen. Maybe it's the next day. Maybe it's 3 months from then. But this is what I've been practicing. This has been my personal practice for the last few years.
Yeah. I love it.
Make a decision in alignment with what your body is telling you, not your brain. And this wasn't anxiety that I was feeling. It was a physical, out of alignment, discomfort thing. And so that's, you know, when you just feel that, ooh. Yeah.
Well, what I love, and it just comes across apparent, you know, apparently it's like just what you were saying of like how you teach as a parent is by embodying it. It's like you probably don't even realize how you're teaching just by what you're speaking. Is like, this is the result of 2 words in that I adhere to as much as I can, which is notice and curious. So it's like just what you said, your mind could have been without that practice in you, your mind could have just been like, oh, I'm feeling this thing. Like, I wonder if I ate like, you know, a rotten, you know, something earlier today, like that's why I'm feeling off or, you know, whatever. And yeah, just totally bowling through it.
And that's what I used to do when I was coming out of that very traumatic relationship. My mind would talk me out of what I was feeling in a new relationship. When there was like a huge red flag, my brain would be like, oh, but that's just your trauma response. You're just overreacting to this. That's not actually what you think it is. So then it would just take me longer to get to the conclusion that I was right. It always happened. Like, it's always right. Your intuition is always right. The feeling in your body is always right. You may not even know it at the time. You might not know it for 5 more months, but it's the practice of doing it that teaches you how to trust it.
And if you're listening to this and you want to witness, Carolyn doing this, like, I suggest hopping into her world somehow, because you are like just getting to sit here and listen to you and be in your space. I'm like, yeah, well, this is exactly what we need to be doing. Like, this is exactly how I should be living my life, right? Yeah. It's kind of like, like, I wish I had an excuse that I could reach out and be like, hey, I could use some coaching. Like,
coach anybody. Just yeah. It doesn't matter if your partner struggles with addiction or not, because that's not even what I'm coaching. I'm coaching humans on how to be human.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yeah. 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 So how do we find out more about your world, what you're doing out there? How do people who are in the place where that relationship and they really desperately need your help, or even like me, they just want to be in your energy? How do we do that? How do we find out more?
You can find me on Instagram at Carolyn Ivers, and the correct spelling will be in the show notes. And my website, carolynivers.com. Those are the best two places to find me.
Okay. And are you taking on new people right now?
I am, in fact, taking on new clients to start in mid-September. And then, every 3 to 6 months, I'm bringing on new clients. So depending on when this airs. But yep.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for the human being that you are on this planet. Thank you for the ease of just, like, it's so easy to be a human being around you. I don't know how else to put it. So
probably the best compliment I've ever gotten.
Well,
thanks for having me.
What a delight. You could just hear in that laughter how Carolyn is just living all of what she was sharing in that episode. So much good stuff. And I hope that there was something in there that related to you. I know there was something in there that related to me. So thank you, my friend, for walking this self-kindness journey together. I hope that you have a fabulous week. I love you so much, and we'll connect soon. Hello, Self-Kindness with Pete listener. It's time to take that leap, my friend. My 3-month and 6-month weekly one-on-one coaching is how to create that self-kindness practice inside of you, how to do it in a way that works, integrating who you are, your perceptions, and making it completely catered for your needs so that you end up having a self-kindness practice that leads and works with your life for the rest of your life. Go to the show notes, click on the link, and start today. You are so worthy of the self-kindness already in you, my friend, and I can't wait to have this conversation with you.